This is the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number One Board of Commissioners. It is Wednesday, July 25th, in the Frank Wilson Memorial EMS Building. And just a reminder to everyone to silence your cell phones and the commissioners to airplane mode. And you started the recorder, right? I have to, okay, good, okay. The commissioners present are Dr. Michael Edwards on the phone, and Annalisa Lindstrom, Dr. Mark Schwinge, and myself, Rebecca Smith, and Dr. Warren Appleton is not present. We also have Chief Martin, and then we have our accountant, Chris Compton, on the phone. And we have Pam and Nathan, thank you. So we're gonna start with the consent agenda, and it's a little bit different this time in that we are going to approve the agenda for today, which is part of the consent agenda, but we're going to approve it beforehand, which allows the board to resolve agenda issues by vote. So do I have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So moved.
Michael moves, second?
Second.
Annalisa seconded. Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that is done. And now we can move to the consent agenda, which involved the June 28th regular... Somebody's in the airport. Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'll mute myself.
Okay, thanks. So we have the June 28th regular meeting minutes, the July 17th special meeting minutes, the San Juan County PhD warrant approval, and the EMS warrant approvals. So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Mark? Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so Pam, you're up with your operations report.
Thank you. This is for the month of June. It is the sixth month of the year, so the conclusion of this month, we've gone through half of the year so far. Our cash report, June total receipts were posted by the county. They were $12,257.69. Of that total, there were $10,318.50 were property tax revenues, and then there were $1,939.19 of leasehold tax. The total cash available at the end of June is $852,545.48. On the disbursement side, we had expenditures total of $16,906.50. And that total amount was all of our expenditures, and it made up invoices for payment for June. There was no payroll for the month of June, and therefore there were no payroll taxes. And there also was no public record costs recorded in June. That was something Commissioner Appleton asked for at the last meeting, to report on cost of public records. In June, we didn't have any cost. For the review of the financials, in your packets, I gave you a June total that compares to June of 2017, and the comparison is pretty much normal, but now, because of Nathan's business office salaries and some other things, the comparisons don't really line up as well as they have in the past when you compare the year before. And then I gave you a budget performance, and it shows the January through June performance compared to the budget, and we were $36,391.67 under in expenses for January through June, and we were $48,036.80 over for our net income. So we are tracking well, and for the first half of the year, our budget looks good. Do you have any questions on the financials?
No.
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. For the operations report, we were busy in the month of June. The Inner Island Medical Center, we've had three contract offers on the building. One is still in play today that the board will be discussing. The superintendent and the SJI EMS chief are continuing to work on the job duties and powers of delegation documents with the subcommittee that was chosen to do that. But last month, the district did approve their revised bylaws at the June 28th regular board meeting. On June 24th to the 27th, Commissioner Edwards and I journeyed to the WSHA, which is the Washington State Hospital Association and the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts 42nd annual conference in Chelan. And they had many sessions, many breakout sessions. Most of them all were on rural health and different things that are going on right now in rural health and things that they're looking at for the future also. The theme for the conference was redefining the H, which H is health, redefining the H beyond the walls into the community. And you can go to the WSHA organization website, and they now have on their home page a section that was for the conference. And if you click on that, it will bring up the breakout sessions, and you can click on those and look at the whole agenda for the conference, and then you can look at the handouts or the PowerPoints that were presented at the conference, and you can see all of them. So it's quite a wealth of information, and I encourage you to take a look at that. It was quite impressive and up to date for what we are working with. Also, the Citizens Advisory Group is continuing to meet. It meets at the district office, which is at 849 Spring Street, Unit B5. And that is, for those of you that don't know where that is, it's perpendicular to the Taylor Shop in the Spring Street Square addition. And they usually meet at 6:30 on it's usually a Wednesday, and they usually start about 6:30, and it could last 2 hours or 3 hours, just depends on what they're talking about or who they are interviewing. The next date for the Citizen Advisory Group to meet is August 22nd, and during that meeting, the group will be interviewing Duncan Wilson, who is the town administrator, and he will be presenting and being asked questions by the CAG at that time. You can also find information on the Citizens Advisory Group if you go to the district webpage, the sjcphd.org website, and on the front page, there's many different ways you can find the Citizen Advisory Group, but on there, it will put the next dates, minutes that have already been approved, and any other information they wish to give out to the public and let them know. And they also have how they can be contacted if you want to contact them. So all of that information is on the district website. Finally, the district completed its 2015-2016 Washington State audit. It came to completion Friday, July 20th with the exit conference at the Bellingham Regional State Auditor's Office. The audit was very atypical. It took a long time with different things that had delays on it, but it is concluded, and the audit did find some deficiencies in financial statement preparation, and it also highlighted some things to improve on our small assets inventory and how to do that with different people instead of having just one person over the inventory. But the process, the auditors were and management worked very well together to look at things and to come up with better ways and easier and efficient ways for in the future. They also, the biggest takeaway from the audit was that the district can now go to the cash basis of accounting instead of filing the financial statements on the accrual gap basis. The district has been trying to switch to the cash basis for the last two audits because our treasurer, the county, is on cash basis, and most all of our other junior districts we work with are on the cash basis, and it's an easier, more efficient process, and the trying to balance between two systems and the cash and the accrual is problematic, and the auditors recognized and finally gave us a determination that the district could go to cash basis and agreed that that is the best course of action for the district in the future, and it will clean up probably 85% of the problems that we've had in the last two audits for financial statements. And they, we are working with the auditors. We've put a plan in place to switch to the cash basis, and in the first part of November, the auditors will come back out and make sure that our plan and the switch to cash is going well, and we can have made the switch to the cash basis. And then next year in 2019, we will have our accountability and financial audit on again at the towards the end of the year. And then after that, things are switched over sufficiently, then we'll go back to our two-year audit cycle. And the other important thing about switching to the cash basis is that it will reduce a lot of audit expense also, because you spend a great deal of time trying to balance between what the Eden system had and what our system had, and going back to the accrual and the cash. So when we're on the same basis as the county and the Eden system, they will spend a lot less time. It'll be one system they can, you know, chat in. So that is also a big plus for switching. And that's my report. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
I have some questions about this auditor report, and I just wanted clarification on a couple of things. You and I talked yesterday about a few of these things, but you know, I went to the website for the state auditor, and I looked over the past few audits, which are our public information, and shared there, and we've had the same findings. Mm-hmm. So each time, and I am really concerned about this, and especially I'm concerned about this, that we estimate that the state had estimated the cost of the audit to be $22,400, mm-hmm. Plus estimated travel of $5,000, and the actual cost ended up exceeding $14,000, mm-hmm. plus $1,000 due to audit issues and delays. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at an extra $15,000 in cost, and then I'm looking at this other page, and it's saying that there were delays in submitting the reports mm-hmm. to the state, in one case of 111 days and in another case of 397 days. That's a really big cost to the taxpayers in this district. I was just hoping for an explanation as to why that happened.
Well, the district and EMS went through several atypical things that happened. Their previous accountant died, and Chris had just come on board, and to get information from his system, you know, it was difficult because he was no longer with us. And then the levy to concentrating on that, and then There's just you know, delay after delay, and when I'm in charge of filing the report, but I'm not in charge of all of EMS's day-to-day things. Mm-hmm. And to file, we have to file a consolidated report mm-hmm. to the auditors. Mm-hmm. And I had the district side, but I did not have what I needed from EMS's financial statements to file a consolidated report. Mm-hmm. At every step of the way, we were talking to the auditors. They understood the delays and why. No, we didn't want to have that long a delay, but you can't file financial statements with only one-third of the information that you're supposed to mm-hmm. file the report with, because that would not be an accurate picture. And the differences in trying to reconcile between the accrual and the cash basis, and also the problems with the accounts receivable that was well talked about in previous board meetings, of reconciling those amounts. The auditors also were looking at those and trying to reconcile so it would be the correct picture. So with Intermedics was the old accounts receivable company. They started not providing information because we were when EMS switched to system design, and so that delay in getting the information also delayed trying to get the correct amount for the financial statements for the accounts and the mm-hmm. accounts receivable. Mm-hmm.
So the delay was on the EMS side of things?
Yes.
Okay. It just seems to me that 397 days is really a long time.
It is a long time. But, like I say, the auditors were informed at every step of the way and mm-hmm. understood, even though, yes, they're due, but they also wanted them to be correct.
Sure.
And understood all of the different types of atypical things that were happening. Chris, would you like to comment on this since you were involved?
Yeah, I hope you can hear me okay.
We can.
Okay, good. So, I'm going to own up to taking responsibility for some for a lot of the delay aspects of the reports. I honestly had, I hadn't dealt with the state filings before, and I didn't realize that, as long as you have a report filed, they don't, and you can change it as you go. So I didn't, when I first started working with the agency back in mid-2016, so 2 years ago, we were started trying to work on those reports, but there was so many unknowns with the accounts receivable and other things that we had a lot to work on just to get the financial statements to a point, because of being on the accrual basis, not the cash basis. It took a long time to get a lot of those issues narrowed down. If I was to go back and do this over again, we would have just thrown together something to have it posted, and then updated it once we had better numbers. That's something that I'll certainly own up to on that. But and that's just a lack of knowledge or experience there. But there was a number of issues that we confronted with this audit in terms of getting numbers accurate, and then we also had basically three different people working on the that had been working with the EMS accounting over that period of time, and aside from myself and then the prior accountants that had passed away. So there was a lot of hands that it went through, and we didn't have clear information through all that. So it just took a long time to get those numbers figured out as best as we could. Being able to finally getting a clear answer from the auditor's office about our ability to go to the cash basis will save substantial amount of resources, both in terms of time and cost to the district, since we were really, like Pam had said earlier, we've been keeping two sets of books, which anyone will tell you in your first, the first accounting 101 class you take is you're not supposed to keep two sets of books unless you're committing a fraud. But in our case, it had kind of become necessary because the cash basis records that we do through the county is really like a check register, and it's very difficult to track any of those accruals. Those were kind of the big issues that we encountered. And the deficiency in there really focuses in on there was the GASB 68, which is a new disclosure requirement, a new governmental accounting requirement that requires us to basically accrue to the financial statements the agency's portion of pension liabilities our portion of the state's overall pension liabilities, and it's a very complex process to do and a very long disclosure requirement, and those were just something that we didn't get that right, and it was and we've learned that there's a lot of agencies that didn't get that right. Doesn't make an excuse, but that's a main reason why there was, you know, a large audit adjustment was for that. For this coming year, now that we're able to switch the accrual basis and we'll get reports posted, and we've been, like Pam said, we've been in very close communication with the auditors, so that this can be a far more simplified process. And so I'm confident that when the audit comes around this fall, that it'll be wrapped up much sooner, and with a cost that should be right in the ballpark of what they've proposed or estimated.
So the estimated cost for the next audit is $10,000 plus $1,000 of travel expenses. Do you anticipate staying within that budget and having the audit in on time?
That's our plan. We're doing our best to provide the most provide accurate numbers, and the accounting certainly is, for 2017, is far clearer and far more certain than it has been in the past, and especially since it's on the cash basis, we don't have the chasing down and getting an accurate estimate of the on the accrual basis of the accounts receivable and revenue was extraordinarily time-consuming, and there was a lot of back and forth on that. But that's a huge portion that's going to be gone, and isn't going to be a factor in these financial statements.
Okay, so there were just findings of significant deficiency and things that were incomplete in this report. And the fact that this goes back to several years, I mean, it doesn't instill the confidence of the public that we're being good stewards of their money. We have put a lot of resources in place to resolve this issue. We've hired you to support the chief in his accounting. We've hired Nathan to support the superintendent. I was reading through this and seeing that there were suggestions made by the state of, certain controls that need to happen at EMS for purchasing and receiving, dealing with inventory. Is there a plan for those to be put into place?
Absolutely, Commissioner. Yes. In fact, listening to what you're going through and going through the audit, it would have been really nice to have you on the phone or in place there while the audit was going on there last week. And just like what Pam said and what Chris is saying on the phone, for years this organization's been under the accrual program of accounting. And like you say, the problem has been going on for years, which is a very complex system. The county accounting system is cash based. So we take those numbers that are cash based, and we have to convert them over to accrual. And then from there, we have two sets of books. We have our administrative assistant working on both those sets of books and making sure that they both add up correctly, which is a very time-consuming and difficult job for her to do. And then we have to convert those things back over to this report. And then over this time period that we're talking about, our accountant, he passed away, and we had to get Chris up to speed. And there was things that are missed. And all of the corrections that you see there are indeed either have been implemented or are in the process of being implemented.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've been working with Tina.
Claire?
I was just going to say I've been working with Tina on the warrant approvals monthly, and I think she's absolutely meticulous, and she's completely on top of her bars codes. I'm really impressed with her work. And you know, I guess what I'm concerned about is the oversight over all of this. And I did have a couple questions on page 21 about, there are four bullet points at the top of the page. There's a net pension liability, and it's saying that it was understated by $910,000 in 2015, and then again $940,000 in 2016. I'm just wondering for clarification on this. I mean, is that $1.8 million or is that a $30,000 adjustment? So why is the pension liability understated so greatly?
So that's entirely related to the new this new accounting pronouncement for governmental entities. It's the GASB, is the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, and it's basically in response to the. I'll try to be brief on this, but it's in response. They put it in place in response to the huge Detroit bankruptcy. Basically, because there was all the pensions were massively underfunded, and there was really no disclosure about the extent of how underfunded the pensions were. This has also been something that they put out for corporations. There's been a lot of new pension disclosures as well, partially in response to the financial crisis. And so basically, there's it put in place a very complex process in which we basically look at, there's a whole bunch of actuarial assumptions done by the state that say, okay, this is how much we expect our total pension cost to be, this is what we have, this is, you know, what is the growth of the fund, you know, all that. I mean, it's extraordinarily complicated, and each year's report is, I think, about 700 plus pages. And then they allocate that out. Then they basically look at what is each agency, you know, what is their basically their history of contributions and employees, and then how does that translate into whatever portion is underfunded by the state, and what piece is each agency effectively responsible for. So the whole thing it basically took something and required it to be put place on the balance sheet, and it didn't have any, you know, it's not a cash transaction. It's not like we missed $1 million of a liability that we're going to owe in the next year. So that basically comes into being our portion of that. And then it required us to make an adjustment to basically accrue the liability on, and then it required that standard when it was implemented to be what's called retrospective, which means that we accrued it as of what it would have been like at the beginning of the year if it was already implemented. So the whole thing has no cash consequence, and it is all entirely related to that one disclosure. So it's not like we're missing $1 million at all. It was just I missed the requirement to include that in the financial statements. So.
Okay, and then there's and then it says there were changes in accounting principle understated by $1.1 million in 2015.
Yes.
What were those changes?
That's the change in accounting principle. That's that retrospective application of the accounting standard as of, so basically meaning that you have to report that on the financial statements as if what would have been like at the end of 2014 if it had been in place, and you know, to make it essentially apply to the financial statements as of January 1. Going forward, so that's it's just a line on the
so moving forward, there is on the balance sheet there is a spot for accrued liabilities.
There is a spot for the cash basis balance sheet does not have that. But we still need to include the disclosures at the back of the financial statement.
Okay. Well, there were some recommendations made by the state, and and then something that the district responded with, and you said that the EMS chief, outside accountant, and district superintendent have implemented a scheduled monthly meeting to monitor the accounting and reporting. The meeting will include a detailed review of the monthly reports so that any errors can be detected and corrected in a timely manner. I feel like at this point we need some board oversight in this meeting.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Alyssa, financial officer, that would be perfect for you to do.
Yes, and so I would like to be part of that meeting.
Okay.
Just because I really want to see in the next report that these deficiencies are corrected, because we are the stewards of public money. We have oversight over mm-hmm. taxpayer dollars, and I'm at least one-fifth responsible on this board to make sure that we come out better next time.
Sure.
I just think we need information presented that shows that to the public that we're being financially responsible and that this report has mm-hmm. to be better.
Sure.
Okay.
So one final comment, though, is that those items that were of the misstatements are all essentially accrual issues. So they didn't identify any issues where they questioned in that finding there where they had questions about, questionable expenditures or, question costs or any indication of fraud or malfeasance or misuse of funds. They all related to just misstatements in calculating the financial statement accruals.
Mm-hmm. And there are inventory issues, it looks like, as well. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pam, can you speak to the inventory? Is that just a matter of, I think the auditors just wanted to have separate people receive the inventory and process the inventory. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah, we have a old inventory program that they went looking for, so they pick it. We want to see this piece of inventory, this piece of inventory, and this piece of inventory. And there was a couple pieces of inventory that was not where it was supposed to be. There was another piece that it has reported is missing. We didn't report that. And so then just the handling of when the inventory comes in, being, and this is not medical related. This is inventory like a camera or maybe a clicker for the TV set or something like that, mm-hmm. that we didn't have the, it wasn't up to date or the inventory wasn't where it's supposed to be. And that's being fixed right now. In fact, that should be fixed by now.
Yeah, I mean, this says that they tested 28 small and attractive items and found discrepancies. They couldn't locate 4 items, 6 assets were not included, and 13 assets were just missing. So the person that orders things should be different than the person that does inventory.
Correct.
And then the person that releases inventory should be different than that.
Releases inventory.
Well, like, puts things into use. Should.
Well, and that's good if you're a big organization, but we're not big enough to have 3 different people taking care of a lot of
stuff. Sure, sure. But it does seem that at least 2 people should be, these are small, talking about small and attractive assets, so things under $5,000.
That's correct.
So that's significant.
So I have a question for Pam and Chris, and that is, Pam, you mentioned that the state auditor's office took years to come around to the realization that you folks would be much better off not being stuck with your accrual basis and then dealing with the county, which has been on a cash basis for many, many years. So why did it take so long, number one, and were other junior taxing districts also hung up in the same duality of having to keep 2 sets of books?
I can answer this kind of easily, I think, but I think it was, part of it was because they wanted to be far enough away from when the Inter-Island Medical Center was in place. In terms of other agencies that have to use the accrual basis, the only other junior taxing district was the port. And basically, both a hospital district and a port are considered business-type entities. And so that is why they had to have the accrual basis. But, for example, fire departments and EMS agencies do not. And we would actually get this kind of conflicting answers, you know. So I attended BARS is a state accounting system course with the chief, and it was for accrual basis, and the instructor there was kind of flabbergasted that we were even there, because she said, you have to be on the cash basis. And we said, well, that's not what we've been told, you know, repeatedly. And so I think it was just a matter of being, seeing that we were far enough away from being part of having that Inter-Island Medical Center that triggered that. As well as, you know, we tried a lot of different ways to try to make it work better with the county and doing it the accrual basis. We met with them twice to find out if there was any other add-ons they could get to their accounting system that would facilitate the accrual basis. We explored other accounting systems that might be able to bridge that. We looked at a lot of different ways to try to make it more efficient and effective. But I think it was a matter of just asking a few times just to see what, I think just letting them see where we were at to agree to it.
Very good. Thanks so much, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have one thing for Pam. So the majority of this report had to do with the cash and accrual system, and that's basically just a matter of how and when the money is reported, which by November will be the next audit will be handled because we'll be on the cash system. So they'll be able to tell.
Well, only for 2018.
Right.
So their audits for 2017.
No, correct that.
Okay.
The auditors have allowed us to switch to cash basis for 2017. So when they finalized the reports for 2015-2016, we had to have that happen first for this audit. Then we can do the cash basis for 2017, which we are in the process of doing now. So when they come in November, they will be auditing under the cash basis for 2017. And we will be showing them how we've made the switch and how the things are cleaned up by then. And then 2018 will continue to be on the cash basis. So I've already got meetings scheduled with several of the junior districts that are on cash basis that just finished an audit with one of the hospital district's auditors to see what the auditor, you know, said. Their audits came out fine. They even, during the course of the audit, even referenced the San Juan County Public Hospital District number one on how complicated their audit, the system was being on accrual and how much easier it's going to be to reconcile everything on the cash basis, and they look forward to seeing that. So, now, I've already got a meeting scheduled August 13th for one of them.
And I would think it would be great, Annalisa, if you could attend that meeting in November.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. Bellingham. So I would like to, if we're kind of done, thank Jerry and Pam and Chris and Michael Edwards for being involved in this audit meeting and for going through the whole process and getting all of the information and everything that you ended up doing. It's a lot of work. Okay.